What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Uma Sports Takes, and today we're going to be looking at the NFL free agency landscape, specifically starting with the AFC side. If your team is on the NFC side, don't worry, I'm going to be coming out with a similar styled episode, but for the NFC tomorrow, so definitely stay tuned for that. But for now, we're going to be taking a look into the AFC. Just before we get started, though, I know that I've been a little bit away for the past few weeks. I've been actually working on a bit of a longer-term podcast episode looking at the Olympics, and I want to make sure I really get that right before I get that out, and so that's why I've been a little bit delayed. But I think you guys will really enjoy that episode when it does come out. It's just that so much stuff keeps happening that I keep having to update my notes and things like that in terms of looking at the Olympic Games, so definitely stay tuned for that. But for now, there's been so much action with regards to NFL free agency, one of the biggest NFL free agency periods for me in recent memory. And so let's take a look and give every single AFC team a grade based on what they've done this free agency period so far. Let's start with the AFC East. Last year's top team in the AFC East was the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills this time in free agency were kind of strapped against the cap, and so that meant some major names were not going to be back with the team. Just as the Bengals kind of did last year, the Bills moved on from their veteran safety tandem of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. And while safety, in terms of a lot of people's opinions, isn't regarded as the most important position on defense, it's more important to have strong pass rushers, a good middle linebacker, and very solid corners, safety will still be a need that the Bills should look to address in the draft. Although it's not said to be the very important, just ask the Bengals how losing two veteran safeties back there is. Even though they had promising rookies, it didn't really go so well. Luckily, the Bills did acquire Taylor Rapp, who can be an average starter for them, and the contract of 3 years, $10 million, is not too pricey at all. Another big name who will not be back in a Bills uniform next year is Tre'Davious White. It's truly a shame because he was one of the best corners coming right out of college, but multiple season-ending injuries have prevented him from staying on the field as of recent. Getting left tackle Deion Dawkins back was a huge win, as it ensures Josh Allen's blind side will be protected for at least the next 3 years. Losing big play threat Gabe Davis felt fine given the hefty price tag the Jags gave to him, and the Bills were at least able to supplement by adding Curtis Samuel, who definitely doesn't play the same role as Davis since he's kind of a smaller slot guy, but he'll still give Josh Allen a decent wide receiver to work with alongside Stephon Diggs. Again, though, that may be a need that the Bills look to address in the draft further. The team-friendly deal with A.J. Epenesa on defense was some good working by the Bills' front office, as it allows them to retain a starting defensive end who is still improving, but at a relatively low rate. Oh, and did I almost mention to forget new quarterback Mitch Trubisky? Yes, let's go. Overall, though, I think the Bills got worse this free agency period. It's kind of inevitable given their cap situation, but still, grades are grades, and so I'm giving the Bills a C+. Moving on to the second-best team in the division last year, we have the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins lost a bunch of people, but overall did a decently effective job at replacing them. They surprisingly cut linebacker Jerome Baker, but replaced him with a speedy Jordan Brooks on a three-year deal. They lost safety Brandon Jones and replaced him with a former division rival safety Jordan Poyer. They lost Christian Wilkins and replaced him with Shaq Barrett. While overall the pluses even out the minuses, there wasn't a ton of improvement done, and so I think they're the perfect team to get a B grade. Just decent work, average work, not much improving there. Moving on to the next team in the AFC East, we have the New York Jets. The Jets' biggest need was offensive line, so acquiring Morgan Moses and John Simpson should bring some durability the Jets desperately need at the position. Reuniting Javon Kinlaw with his former defensive coach and Robert Saleh on a one-year flyer deal isn't too bad either. Losing Bryce Huff, though, is pretty painful. He wasn't necessarily a household name, but did you know he had the second most QB pressures of anyone in the league, only to Micah Parsons? I don't really think the Jets should have let him walk, even if it would have taken a bit of a price tag to get the deal done. I mean, I guess as a consolation prize, here's Tyrod Taylor. So if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in 5 plays next season, at least you won't have to watch Zach Wilson / Tim Boyle / whoever else is back there anymore. Still too soon, Jets fans? Great overall, though, is a C. Moving on to the last team in the AFC East, we have my New England Patriots. Literally, what are we doing? We have a ton of cap space and literally zero talent. For any other team, that means it's time to max out the credit card. Instead, though, the Patriots make several underwhelming moves that don't really do a ton to inspire confidence in the organization. The moves that happened were meh. There were sizable contracts for an aging Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne who tore his ACL, and fringe starting guard Michael Owenu, which were all questionable moves to say the least. The best move that was made was getting Josh Uche back on a team-friendly one-year deal after he decided to not test the market and take a hometown discount. Shout out Josh Uche, we love him for that. He's quietly been very productive, even in the absence of Matt Judon for most of this season. The other solid move was reuniting with Jacoby Brissett, who'll be a good bridge quarterback slash mentor to whichever new quarterback the Patriots draft. Because it's pretty much confirmed we are drafting a new quarterback. Mac Jones is traded to the Jaguars for a 6th-round pick. So sorry for failing you, Mac. We really didn't surround you with any talent. I mean, how can anyone be good when their best receivers are Devontae Parker and Jalen Reagor? Oh, by the way, Devontae was cut and Reagor was re-signed. Yay. Honestly, the thing I'm most salty about, though, is why we didn't trade for Justin Fields. The price was so small, we could have sat him for a bit behind Brissett, drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and then actually had some talent on the team to work with. But per usual, it's underwhelming New England where nothing really changes. I'm probably being harsh, not overspending allows the Patriots to wait until teams cut more players later on for salary cap casualties, I guess. But personally, once again, I'm underwhelmed. And these are my grades after all. So, C+. Let's move on to the next division, the AFC West, and obviously the top team in the AFC West was the top team in all of the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs did the most important move by getting a long-term deal done with Chris Jones. With the retirement of Aaron Donald, one can make the case that the two-time All-Pro is now the best at his position, and is more than worthy of the massive 5-year, $158 million deal he received. Extending Drew Tranquil to a 3-year affordable deal was also good work by the Chiefs front office, and it somewhat lessens the sting of losing linebacker Willie Gay in the process. The looming question mark is with the franchise tagging of Legarius Sneed. Given this, it's possible that Sneed will be dealt to another team because of salary cap concerns. Remember, they now owe Mahomes and Chris Jones heaps of cash. Rightfully so, but still, you have to be wary of these things. I would have liked to see them address the receiver position a bit, but that can be done with the draft, which is loaded with gobs of wide receiver talent. And hey, they just won the Super Bowl with the core players they have, so why drastically change what worked? Grade A-. Moving on to probably the most intriguing team in this division, the Los Angeles Chargers. New coach Jim Harbaugh had to face the consequences of previous administration decisions that the Chargers were somehow wildly over the salary cap, despite not really making a ton of noise in the postseason recently. Maybe that's why all of the previous administrations are, you know, previous ones. Anywho, I think the majority of the Chargers offseason can be summed up in this one graphic I saw online. Last Friday, the Chargers' starting offense consisted of Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Gerald Everett. Now, it's Justin Herbert, Gus Edwards, Quentin Johnson, Joshua Palmer, and Will Disley. That is a yikes. I know Harbaugh is a fan of the downhill running style, and Gus Edwards can be a bell cow back that fits that scheme, so there's a slight positive for really overpaying him for what he is, at least. Oh, and did I mention that Kenneth Murray is also gone for good measure? Yeah, there's no way around it. This was a rough free agency period for the Chargers, who will look to quickly replenish talent in the draft under their new coach. Grade D+. If you thought the Chargers were bad, well, let's look at the Denver Broncos. Given the horrendous situation with Russell Wilson, the Broncos kind of couldn't really do anything besides hope for addition via subtraction. That extended to the rest of the team as well, as veteran safety Justin Simmons was released and Jerry Jeudy was traded to the Browns for a late-round nothing pick. By doing this, the Broncos are signaling that they are starting over, which is probably the right decision. But will Sean Payton really want to start over? I mean, after all, he was kind of retired. He only really came back because the Broncos were thought to be a contender suddenly. The team is actively paying Russell Wilson to not play for them. Justin Simmons made an all-pro team last year and was still released. And Jeudy still has promise, but the Broncos never really realized it. The Broncos didn't have much to work with, and this grade in free agency is a reflection of previous bad decisions that got them to this point. Grade D. Moving on to the last team in the AFC West, we have the Las Vegas Raiders. I almost said Oakland, I'm not gonna lie. It just rolls off the tongue better. Wow, that pass rush. People will nitpick and say the Raiders overpaid for Christian Wilkins, but given the recent Chris Jones deal, the price kind of makes sense, actually. Him opposite of Max Crosby is a formidable duo for the silver and black. Acquiring center Andre James is also a sneaky good move, as he had a 75 PFF grade last season, which is pretty good. The Raiders shed their QBs of Brian Hoyer and Jimmy Jesus in exchange for a better bridge QB in Gardner Minshew. Once again, though, this is a bridge QB, so Vegas will have to hope a franchise guy falls to them at pick 13, or potentially trade up to get their guy. Who knows? Overall, though, not a bad offseason for the Raiders. Grade B+. Now we're moving on to a new division that's going to be the AFC North. And let's start off with the top seed of the AFC North last year, the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens made two very large free agency moves. First was the re-signing of Justin Madubuike to a long-term deal. 4 years for $98 million is a lot, but he was very efficient last year and was quietly one of the best defensive linemen in the league. He had 13 sacks last season and is still in his prime at 26 years of age. He had originally been franchise tagged, but both parties were able to work out a long-term deal, which is a major win for Baltimore. The other major signing was obviously acquiring running back Derrick Henry. Again, the price was steep, as a 2-year, $16 million price tag is a lot for a 30-year-old running back, but I think Henry is very worth it for the Ravens specifically. He's produced consistently ever since coming into the league and notched an 1,100-yard, 12-touchdown season last year, running behind a horrible offensive line at Tennessee. Speaking of the offensive line, that is what holds the Ravens' grade back a little bit. They lost guard John Simpson and tackle Morgan Moses to the Jets. Given that this team relies on the run game, offensive line will be a top priority for them entering the draft. Another major loss came with linebacker Patrick Queen. This move seemed inevitable ever since the Ravens handed a massive contract to Roquan Smith, but it especially hurts that it was to a division rival in the Steelers. The Ravens have a knack of drafting well defensively, though, and obviously Roquan Smith has been great, so this is just a loss they're going to have to find a way around. Other smaller moves include re-signing wide receiver Nelson Agholor and losing Gus Edwards, who did have a team-high 13 rushing touchdowns, but that's not really an issue with Derrick Henry coming in the fold. Overall, there was a lot of movement for the Ravens, but I would say more positives than negatives. Grade B+. Moving on to the surprise team of the division last year, that's going to be the Cleveland Browns. It was a relatively mellow free agency period for them. They did acquire Jerry Jeudy for the Broncos, who will hopefully be a nice wide receiver too behind Amari Cooper. Getting Za'Darius Smith back on a 2-year deal was nice, alongside the addition of Jordan Hicks to replace the lost linebacker Taki Taki. Yes, that's his name, look it up. Really though, the Browns lost a true hero to NFL fans everywhere, Joe Flacco. Seeing this dip in meme production though, the Browns quickly added Jameis Winston on a 1-year deal to pick up the slack, so don't be worried, NFL fans. There's still memes in Cleveland. In all seriousness, though, Winston could be asked to start games if Deshaun Watson gets hurt or cannot recapture the previous form he had with the Texans, despite all of the money he's getting. A decent free agency period for the Browns here will earn them a solid B grade. Moving on to the next team in the division, we have probably an underwhelming season for them, considering what they were able to achieve a couple years ago, and that's going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals entered this free agency with some cap space, but remained pretty savvy with their moves as they realized they need to save space for extending star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase down the road. That's not to say they didn't try and get a little better, though. Mike Gesicki at tight end is an upgrade over Irv Smith Jr., who was either bad or hurt or both. The Bengals moved on from an expensive and aging Joe Mixon, instead grabbing a younger, more efficient Zach Moss. Although cheaper, I think the Bengals should look to draft another running back with a third or fourth round pick in the draft to still have options in the position. One of the more underrated moves was poaching from rival Baltimore and snagging safety Geno Stone. He quietly had the second most interceptions in the league last season behind a certain Deron Bland, which is very impressive. That combined with the reunion with Bon Bell should help shore up the safety position for Cincy, given that last year's young first rounder of Dax Hill underperformed. The big elephant in the room here for Cincy is T. Higgins. The Bengals franchised him, but he has requested a trade given that he did not get a long-term deal. It seems that he'll just have to play on the tag this season, but is likely gone next. That's hopefully a future problem, though, unless he has a holdout, which could be awkward. Overall, though, a nice free agency for a team looking to re-enter that Super Bowl conversation. Grade B+. Moving on to the last team in the division, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers. What an offseason for the Steelers. They needed to find quarterback competition for Kenny Pickett going in, but did what I think they didn't have the guns to do and just got rid of him entirely after he grumbled about the Russell Wilson signing. They managed to even net a third-round pick for him, which is not bad at all. Although the Steelers didn't just add Wilson because he hasn't aged like fine wine, they actually doubled down by acquiring Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick. That is an absolute fleecing from the Bears. Think about it. Fields, a potential franchise quarterback in the future, only cost a 6th-rounder while Pickett netted them a 3rd. That's insane work by the Steelers front office. If that wasn't good enough for you, well, how about stealing talent from a division rival in the Ravens by acquiring Patrick Queen at linebacker? The former first rounder will be the perfect fit alongside Landon Roberts and is still improving because he's pretty young. You may criticize the trade exchanging Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson, but Steelers fans know what I mean when that's just kind of an addition by subtraction with regards to Johnson. Seriously, expert maneuvering by the Steelers, which will surely keep them in tension, even in arguably the toughest division in football. Am I glazing them too much? You'll have to let me know, but I think this is an A-plus grade for the Steelers. Moving on to the next division, we have the AFC South. First, let's start off with the team that won this division, who were also a pretty surprised team to do so. That's going to be the Houston Texans. Obviously, a lot of credit to the Texans last season went to CJ Stroud's excellent QB play as rookie, but now in free agency, it's time to give lots of credit to the front office and coaches. This team is long removed from the horrors of Bill O'Brien's absolutely horrendous deals, as they now made several smart moves. The Texans are in a win-now mode, and with Stroud still on his rookie deal, they understand it's time to go all in. Adding Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter will be awesome pairings with Defensive Rookie of the Year Will Anderson Jr. The deals being 2 years also makes perfect sense, as that is likely the time frame the Texans will have until they need to pay Stroud, so they won't be locked into longer-term contracts for aging players by that point. Re-signing Dalton Schultz was a good move as well, because last year in free agency, that was seen as a more under-radar signing, but he was very good for them in both the pass game and in blocking for the run game this year. My one nitpick was the signing of Joe Mixon. A 3-year deal for a 27-year-old back who hasn't averaged 4 yards a carry in several years didn't feel totally necessary. I would have liked to see them upgrade the position via the draft rather than this, although there's no denying that it is an upgrade over Devin Singletary, who they had the year before. Also, Mixon is known to struggle in pass protection, which isn't great when you have a humming offense with CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins as the primary focus, but still, he's been improving on that year after year, and maybe he'll take the next step in that part of his game this year. That move, though, is the only thing that keeps the Texans from an A grade. Overall, though, still a very solid free agency all around will earn them an A minus. Moving on to the next team in the division, we have a fall from grace that happened last year for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and free agency continued to be a bit of a letdown. The Jaguars lost Calvin Ridley, which, given the price the Titans gave to him, is probably good that the Jags didn't pay that much for a 29-year-old receiver. While that kind of makes sense, what doesn't is the Jags paying a 3-year, $39 million deal to Gabe Davis. He's a wide receiver two at best, but now they lack a wide receiver one, so is he the primary receiver now? I don't like that. There are a lot of competent wide receivers in the draft, so maybe they'll look to rebuild there, but still I find this to be a very puzzling move. They also signed Devin Duvernay, but if they think that with Gabe Davis is going to replace Calvin Ridley's production, I think they would be sorely mistaken. While I wasn't a big fan of their receiver moves, I did approve of their retooling of the offensive line. Signing recently released Mitch Morse will help shore up a center position that has caused some problems for the Jags recently, and extending guard Ezra Cleveland for an affordable price was pretty savvy too. Adding Darnell Savage and Eric Armstead were also solid moves for the defensive side of the ball. Considering the Jags had limited cap space to work with, they did a decent job. Still, though, the receiver questions kind of loom large. So the grade for free agency will be a B-, but if they address the wide receiver needs in the draft, this free agency will look much better than that B- in hindsight. Moving on to the next team in the division, another kind of surprise finish for them, we have the Indianapolis Colts. Although originally franchise-tagged, Michael Pittman Jr. was recently just extended. This is a good move, as he's the team's primary pass catcher, and Anthony Richardson will need him by his side for his development. There is no longer the crutch of Minshew mania to rely on should anything happen to Richardson next season, but the Colts found an equally capable backup in the legendary Joe Flacco, who showed last season that he still has some mileage in the tank if needed. Although it was assumed that Minshew likely jumped out of the Colts' price range for a backup quarterback, maybe he didn't, because Flacco's price was quite expensive for the same role, coming in at around $8.7 million for 1 year. But if something does happen to Richardson, no one will bat an eye at that price. The Colts were also able to retain defensive starters Tyquan Lewis and Grover Stewart on team-friendly deals, which is solid. And so overall, it was a decent, good, not great free agency for the Colts. They should consider adding more offensive depth to the receiver for Richardson's development in the upcoming draft. But other than that, there's no real glaring holes that they had to fix. But again, they didn't do anything outstanding to propel their grade any higher than a B, in my opinion. And moving on to the last team of this podcast episode and of the AFC, we have the Tennessee Titans. The big splash move for the Titans was signing Calvin Ridley away from their division rival Jaguars to a 4-year, $96 million deal. This already seems like an overpay for an aging receiver, but what makes it look worse is they did this for a 29-year-old Ridley, when just a few years earlier they were unwilling to do a 4-year, $100 million contract for a 22-year-old peaking A.J. Brown. Yikes. Another yikes is losing Derrick Henry. This was inevitable, but still, it's kind of sad to see. They did replace him with Tony Pollard, who had a rough 2023, but hopefully can recapture his 2022 form pre-fibula injury. Offensive line was a big need for the Titans, and they upgraded by acquiring center Lloyd Cushenberry from the Broncos, who was a top three center according to PFF last year. Adding Kenneth Murray and Chidobe Awuzie should be above average starters to a defense that overall struggled last year. Obviously, though, the biggest move was getting Mason Rudolph. What a literal legend. Grade overall is going to be a B. And so that concludes the podcast episode on giving every AFC team grades for free agency. Let me know if there's any you would have changed. I think overall, I was pretty fair about it. I think most of the grades did fall in that B range with very few A's, so maybe I'm a harsh grader, but I seem to be fangirling over the Steelers, so let me know if I'm fangirling a little too hard there. Anyway, that's going to be it for now. Make sure to come back tomorrow for the free agency grades for the NFC teams. And stay tuned because in the future I will be dropping a podcast episode on the Olympics, and I think it's going to be a really cool one. Kind of a little different style than I usually make, but I think you guys will really enjoy it. So definitely stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can also catch more of my content on other platforms such as TikTok and YouTube, where I post shorts, if you want a completely different style of content from me, from the long form podcast. But anyway, if you have any other suggestions for ideas for future shows, definitely let me know via email. Free agency was actually something that got suggested to me via email, and I was like, of course, I should definitely cover that because there's been so much news surrounding it. But if there's any other topics you want to see me cover, I'll definitely try and get to them. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.